Coming up with a creative or even a brilliant idea is one thing. Making it happen is something else entirely. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today, I'll talk with four artists about taking initiative and turning ideas into reality. Rex Hausman lives and works as a full-time artist in San Antonio in New York City. Michelle Hawley lives in Des Moines. She creates and manages websites and curates fine art shows. Matthew McIver is a director, actor, writer, and educator in Des Moines. And Darren White is a sculptor based in Lawrence, Kansas. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Many of us have hopes and goals that reach beyond our daily existence. Many of us have good ideas, even great ideas, that never become reality because we don't have the time or the energy or maybe even the courage to make them happen. Today, I'll talk with four artists about taking initiative and turning ideas into reality. Matthew McIver is a director, actor, writer, and educator in Des Moines. He is the artistic director of the Des Moines Social Club and its in-house theater troupe as well, Locust Productions. Hello, Matthew.
Hi, Charity. How are you?
I'm great. And Michelle Hawley is also here. She lives in Des Moines. She creates and manages websites and curates fine art shows. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you for being here today. Rex Hausman lives and works as a full-time artist in San Antonio and New York City. He's also with us today. Hi, Rex.
Hello, Charity.
And Darren White is a sculptor based in Lawrence, Kansas. Hi, Darren.
Good morning.
Thank you all for being here today. And all of these artists will be participating in a discussion at the Des Moines Social Club this evening from 6 to 8. The topic is finding your fire. And we want to hear from you this hour as well. If you've taken a leap, if you have, quote, found your fire, we'd love to hear your story. Or if there's something that you wish you could do but just feel that you can't take that leap, we'd like to hear your story as well. The number to call is 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR. Our talk, or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Matthew, let's start with you. You've been acting for 20 years. You've traveled the country and the world as a performer. What drew you into acting?
I got into acting. Well, first, thank you very much for having us. We're really excited to be here. I got into acting because it was a way to make art and be social. I was a creative writing major in college, and when I was a senior, I was sitting in my room going, gosh, I can't wait until I graduate and I don't have any more classes, and I can sit in a room by myself for 8 hours a day and just write, and oh my God, I have to find something that involves other human beings. So I got into it because I loved making art and telling stories, and it took a while to figure out how to do that and how to make a living out of it, and how to connect with other people and other artists, which is what we do at the Des Moines Social Club, is try and be a resource for people in the community to basically come and live their dreams and do whatever art they want to do, whether it's visual art, like what Michelle does and what Rex does and what Darren does, too, for that matter, or if it's theater, like what we do. You know, and my executive director and partner in crime over at the Social Club, Zach Mannheimer, is also in theater. We connected that way, and he's directing a play that's going up this month, actually, in Neighborhood 3. So it was a way to forge more human connections. It was a way to tell stories that wasn't that was social, that was engaged, and that had a creative end product that you could then share directly with other people, and you would see immediately how they responded to it.
Are you from Iowa originally, Matthew?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm originally from North Carolina. The Des Moines Social Club was founded out of an idea by Zach Mannheimer, who is our executive director. He and I knew each other and worked together in New York City, and he wanted to find basically a place for people to come together and create art, and for us to see what social divisions we can bridge, how many different kinds of groups we can get in there and mix them up together, using art as a catalyst, basically, to forge a stronger community. So Zach got in a car and he drove 17,000 miles to 22 different cities, and he got it down to Des Moines and Reno, Nevada. And Des Moines won because of the caliber of people that he found here, people like Michelle, who has been with us from the get-go, basically, and has run art shows for us when we had enough space to have an art gallery. She directed that for us, and we're working towards having a permanent facility where she can do that again.
So when you decided to take that leap, when you thought, okay, I need to have a career that brings me into contact with other people, I'm going to become an actor, I'm fairly certain that you didn't think, I'm going to become an actor and move to Des Moines, Iowa.
No, strangely enough, I that was not my first thought. I did some time in Boston. I did some touring with a Shakespeare company based out of Harrisonburg, Virginia, of all places. It was Shenandoah Shakespeare then. It's now the American Shakespeare Center in Stanton, just down the road. And I did 11 years in New York. And it was the community I found in New York where I met Zach that actually brought me to Des Moines, because I made that connection, that friendship, and that artistic relationship with Zach. And when he left to travel the country and find a place that needed something like the Des Moines Social Club, and where he felt that it would really be successful, and it has been. It's been an extraordinary experience. We opened up in an old building on what is now the Sculpture Park, but at the time was a giant mud pit at 1408 Locust Street. And, it was a wonderful old building, but every time it rained, I feared for our lights. It was a great place for us to start. And that was our feasibility study. We just said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to open the doors and see who comes. And people have been coming nonstop ever since.
Well, it seems to me that being an actor and living in Des Moines and having the career that you've had, you must have not just made a decision to do something that you love and that you feel passionate about, but you must have also needed to take into account different quality of life issues and things like that. That's one of the things that often, of course, brings people to Des Moines or back to Des Moines, mm-hmm. back to Iowa. Can you describe for me a little bit of how you have crafted your life now, career and life-wise?
Yeah, it was a big roll of the dice. When we moved out here, my wife Julie Betts and I, we were looking to make a transition. My wife's a dancer, I'm an actor. We were living in New York. We both had other jobs. She was working in arts administration for the Brooklyn Arts Exchange, and I was tutoring for the Princeton Review. And it was an opportunity. We said, "Well, let's go out and see if we can make this go." Those quality of life issues absolutely were a consideration for us. When we decided we were going to sort of roll the dice and move to Iowa and see if we could create this, because when we came out here, the social club didn't have a space yet. It was a group of people meeting in, I think, Brent Housingay's living room. Or was it your living room, Michelle? I forget.
It changed.
it floated. It was a group of people who, with a tremendous amount of passion and $0, who put on events and created a name for themselves. And there was no staff. Our first staff was Zach, and that was off a grant that I wrote, of all people. And we just decided to completely – it was a huge plunge. We rolled the dice. We quit our jobs. In 12 months, Charity, my wife and I quit our jobs, got married, moved to Iowa, found new jobs, had our first child, opened up the Des Moines Social Club, bought a car, and bought a house.
Wow.
In 12 months. I said, we changed almost everything that you can change except your biology in that 12-month span. And it was an enormous, it was a huge risk. And it's paid off in spades. We own a house, which of course was never going to happen in New York. That's just, you look at a studio apartment in New York and you're talking $250,000. We have extraordinary people that we've met here. I met Rex Houseman in Des Moines at Star Bar, not in New York. You know, I met Darren in Des Moines, and that's all through Chad Cox at Hilliard, who's one of the sponsors of the event tonight. And is an extraordinary catalyst in his own right in town. I can't go to an arts related meeting in Des Moines without bumping into Chad. I've seen him four times in the last week, and we haven't had a scheduled meeting until today. So there's extraordinary people here, and that's really what's been amazing to me about Des Moines and Iowa, and what I want to try and start highlighting for the rest of the world is the caliber of people here and the kind of work that we're doing is really unknown, I think. And there's a tremendous untapped talent. There's untapped human potential here. The Social Club did an event in concert with Salisbury House and the Central Iowa Shelters and Services called Out Your Artist. We did it on National Coming Out Day, where we had 22 people who had never proclaimed themselves as artists to their, you know, coworkers or family or whatever. They displayed their work for the first time at Salisbury House in this massive event. It was hugely successful. We had to turn away artists who were offering it to us, who wanted to be a part of this. And at the event, we probably had another 20 people come up and tell us, I want to be on next year's. There's a huge amount of talent in this area. We at the Social Club have it as a principle that everyone's an artist in some way, and we want people to find that, tap into that, and express it, because that's that creativity and that incredible potential is what's going to make us, you know, the competitive city in the area in the 21st century.
Michelle, I want to bring you into the conversation. Are you originally from Iowa?
No, I'm actually from Illinois. I've been here for about 4.5 years now. So,
and you, as I mentioned earlier, you create and you manage websites, you curate fine art shows. When you were beginning to craft your career, what did you want to be?
Ever since I can remember, art's always been a huge part of my life. No matter what I was doing, I always had to bring in that creative element to something as simple as, you know, writing a paper, anything I had to do. So, I went to school at Western Illinois University and had come out to Des Moines, to visit a few times. And I just loved the atmosphere, and I knew that it would be a great place to start my career as an artist in whatever realm I decided to go into. Yeah, it's been so great meeting all these people here that have this fire and this passion to make something better every day. It's just constantly growing, and it's great to be a part of it here.
You have what sounds like a very sensible job creating and managing websites. Was there a point where you had to decide that, you know, you needed to have a job that paid the bills but also satisfied that creative urge?
Yep. And that's another thing, too. I've always had that creative side, but also the technical analyzing data has always interested me, which isn't generally doesn't go hand in hand with painting. I work at Visionary Services, which is a web development company here in the East Village. And that kind of balances out my creative side. It's another form of creativity, and I enjoy it a lot. And I didn't actually see myself doing something like that initially when I started out, but yeah, it's turned into a great outlet for that technical nerdy side of me. So,
and what kind of art do you like to create when you're not working?
I would say I'm a painter. I work in many different forms: screen printing, spray paint, acrylic, mixed media, just anything really.
We need to take a break here, but we'll be back in just a few minutes. We're talking to four different artists today about how they found their passions and have made their careers in art and other fields work for them. And we also want to hear from you today. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me, Matthew McIver, Michelle Hawley, Rex Hausman, and Darren White. We'll continue our conversation in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and with me today are four different artists who are going to be involved in an artist discussion this evening at the Des Moines Social Club called Finding Your Fire. The talk this evening begins at 6 o'clock. With me are Matthew McIver. He is a director, actor, writer, and educator in Des Moines. He's the artistic director of the Des Moines Social Club and its in-house theater troupe, Locust Productions. Michelle Hawley is here. She lives in Des Moines. She creates and manages websites, curates fine art shows, paints when she has the time. Rex Hausman is also here. He lives and works as a full-time artist in San Antonio and New York City. And Darren White is here. He's a sculptor based in Lawrence, Kansas. And we're going to spend the hour talking about taking ideas and turning them into reality, ways to find the initiative, ways to take those leaps that you may be afraid to take. And you can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Tell us about a leap that you've taken? Or tell us what you'd love to do if you had the time or the energy or the courage to do it. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. And I've been sort of going around the horn getting everybody's origin stories today. So Rex Hausman, it's your turn now. When did you first get involved in art?
Well, as long as I can remember, I've really been involved in art, and I know a lot of artists say that, but I grew up in a small business family, always drew, always painted, but never really took it seriously in terms of like making a living at it. And like any creative person, you know, it took a little while for me to figure out what I was to do, but once I figured it out, I hit the ground running. I was a business major at a university, making a 2.6 average, and took the leap, became an art major, and try telling a small business family you're going to become an art major. That's pretty exciting.
Right. And, how did that go? What did you hear from your family?
You know, actually, I remember the day, and I remember, you know, it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was talking to my mom, and she was at her, she rides horses, and I said, "Mom, I think I'm going to become an art major. I just can't do this business thing anymore. I'm dyslexic. I'm dysgraphic. High school was really hard for me. I slugged it through that thing. I'm going to become an art major." And my mom said, "Honey, if anybody can do it, you can." And I've really remembered that day. Once I took that leap, I went from 2.6 average to a 4.0 in Dean's List within one semester. And I took my portfolio to all my professors. On my dad's word, he said, "Print out your portfolio." I said, "What's a portfolio?" He said, "Print everything out on a little white piece of paper and show it to everybody, all the commissions you've been doing." I said, "Okay." So I showed it to them, and they went, "You need to go to a better school, or you need to move to New York." And immediately, coming from the business building to the art building is a much bigger gap than you'd think. And I said, "Okay, well, what's an art school?" So I went to Barnes & Noble, picked up everything that said art on it, looked through them, found the stuff that I liked, and then started calling the magazines and saying, "What's a good art school?" Applied to 7 schools, said, "Okay, great, these are $40,000 a year. Yeehaw, how am I going to pay for this?" And said, I put together a portfolio packet, sent it out, and then, you know, the Savannah College of Art and Design gave me a full ride. And then from there, worked on some projects, some really crazy ones with Points of Light Foundation, and ended up in Kennebunkport, Maine, working on a project with a president, and got a project in the Smithsonian, and I just found myself in China, in Hong Kong, Beijing, Lishu, and Wenjin with the University of Texas at San Antonio, curating a part of the 14th International Photo Exhibition with President Ricardo Romo, Arturo Almeida, Peter Brown, Joel Salcedo, and Anson Seal. It's just really been kind of a crazy, crazy life's journey. In the past 3 months, I've been in 19 different cities, 2 continents, 2 coasts, and been curating shows, selling paintings, and showing up, you know, as much as I can. So the artist's life is pretty nuts.
Can you describe for us a little bit of the kind of work that you do?
Well, I'm a painter, and for a while, I was painting and showing kind of on a mini national scale, and the economy tanked, and I said, I read a quote from Robert Storr, who's a critic in New York, as well as a critic from Los Angeles, Christopher Knight. They said, "It's a good time to be an installation artist." To which I said, "You know what? That may be a good idea. I think I'm going to branch off into this crazy little world of installation." At the time, I had been studying with Sandy Skoglund and Patrick Doherty, and I gave it a whirl. And
for people who don't know what installation art is?
Installation art is basically, I don't know, it can be anything from recreating a diner scene, you know, in a space where you actually drink coffee in the installation, to creating a puff on a string suspended by a coat hanger in a white room. You know, installation kind of means you're installing and changing a space more than when you found it. For myself, I was filling old warehouses with my friends. There's a group we put together called the Texas Canons of Proportion, shout out. And we just started filling these big buildings in little towns like Mason, Texas. And, you know, Mason has, I think, a population of like 2,000. And we had about 400 people show up to the opening for this old warehouse. Everybody came in from San Antonio, Austin, surrounding area. And now I've actually switched back to painting and just finished a series based on my hometown, on me and my brother. And now at the Lawrence Art Center, there's an exhibition we just finished that's kind of merging written word, painting, and installation all at the same time, merging that with community. And another part of my life is a place called the Hausman Millworks, which is a studio program with about 30 artists and three small businesses where we like the Des Moines Social Club, try to reach out and help people find their voice, you know, take not only what's internally personal to you, but trying to channel that into other people. And, you know, like what Matt was saying, take that leap, you know. My personal story of life is one of stick close to what you know is important, which is your family, your friends, the things that you hold dear. And from there, your creativity will come out. And you'll find yourself in some of the strangest places. And
well, we'll talk more in just a minute, Rex. I want to bring Darren into the conversation. Darren White is a sculptor, and he's based in Lawrence, Kansas. And Darren, I want to find out how you got involved in art, but it also sounds like you had to take a second leap and move from the world of art into sculpture. So let's start with when did you know that art needed to be an important part of your life?
I think many artists say this, but I was very young. I think I have a beautiful picture of Bert and Ernie that I drew around 5. So that was the beginning, somewhere around that time frame. But
and you, as you pursued art and you pursued your education, you were involved mainly with drawing, right?
My foundation was in drawing, yes. And we had an amazing art teacher at Lawrence High School, where I went to school. And so that was what she taught us. The foundation of all art is drawing. And if you can draw, you can do anything. So that's where I began. But then when I went away to school, started out in graphic arts, went to painting, did a little bit of printmaking, and just never really found my exact niche until I got the sculpture. And I grew up in a manufacturing company, so I was used to materials and processes, and just loved the idea of materials and processes, and just found my medium.
Can you tell us about when you really realized that sculpture was what you wanted to be doing? Was there a day or a moment or a project?
I finally took a sculpture class, and that was it. I mean, I said, okay, this is it. This is what I need to do. So,
and tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing today.
In regards to sculpture, I'm actually trained as a metal fabricator and metal caster, but not having a foundry or much metal fabrication equipment, I had to kind of improvise and do things in a different way using the materials that I had. So lately, I've actually been chainsaw carving, of all things, and using other types of you know, materials like fur off of a deer hide and other various materials.
You're also involved, as so many of you are, in building community for artists, something that you do in Lawrence, Kansas. Tell me about the work that you've done.
Well, my wife and I started a organization called Beauty, Art, and Life Movement, or BALM for short. Not bomb, but BALM. I have to say that clearly. And what we do is help encourage artists and provide opportunities for them. I think one of the things that we've all started to discuss here is that many people aren't encouraged to become artists because of the ability to make a living as an artist is limited. And so we've found that many people have actually been hindered from becoming or actually going after a career in the arts, or at least pursuing their art in some way or another, and really wanted to foster that creativity by kind of fanning the flame, to say.
Well, we have a couple of callers who want to get in on this conversation, and you're welcome to join us at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I have with me today 4 different artists, Matthew McIver, Michelle Hawley, Rex Hausman, and Darren White, and we're talking about taking leaps and engaging in creativity, making great ideas happen. We'd love to hear about leaps that you've taken in your own life, or your dream, what you'd like to do if you had the time or the energy or even the courage to make it happen. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Tweet us at IPR Talk. Send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Brent is on the line in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Brent.
Hello. Just been great listening to you guys discuss this. My leap was in 2009. I had raised my kids. I graduated with a degree in film production from Iowa, and I thought now's the time I can move out to Los Angeles. I worked on a film project, and our director was out there. All I needed to do was sell my house, and we were going to be off to the big city where we thought, you know, it would be a mecca for visual artists and creative people, and we could thrive there. Unfortunately, we put our home in the market in the summer of 2009, which was about the worst time you could possibly try to sell real estate. And we didn't sell it, and we ended up being stuck here. Even though I, you know, made trips out to L.A., there was no way I would be able to move out there without selling the house. And since that time, we've discovered there's just an incredible arts community in Cedar Rapids. After the flood, as you know, destroyed most of the downtown area of our city. The money that's been pouring in has really gone to revitalize one specific community, which is New Bohemia. And just like the word says, there's a lot of Bohemian culture that's coming to life there. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask you, Brent. So has your mindset changed a little bit? I think a lot of people who want to go into the arts fields feel like they need to be in Los Angeles or they need to be in New York City. Has your mindset changed?
Totally. It's ironic that I met more actors and people who have worked in the film industry here in Cedar Rapids than I did in Los Angeles. And most of them were coming from Los Angeles simply because the cost of living was just outrageous. And here they could find, you know, again, thanks to the information age, a lot of work can be done collaboratively online. And that's, for example, how I'm finishing my first film, a feature film. And the resources are here, and the standard of living is so much higher. I have really discovered now, you know, since I really decided I had to connect with the creative community, all of the resources that are here, and it's amazing.
Well, Brent, thank you so much for your call. And Darren, you were just talking about how people are discouraged from going into artistic fields, but do you also think that people talk themselves out of it because they do think that they need to move to L.A. or they move to New York City or do something that takes them well outside of their comfort zone?
Definitely. I mean, I think that culturally, New York and L.A. have been kind of the source of all art, quote. But really, that's actually not the case. And there's so much amazing art that's happening and creativity around the country, and especially in the Midwest. It's absolutely amazing to see what is happening here. And the only reason you don't hear about it is because it's not coming out of New York or L.A.
Sorry, Charity, just to chime in, we really think that that's 100% true. And at the Social Club, one of our missions is the attraction and retention of local talent, letting people know that they don't have to leave Iowa in order to make art, letting people know that they can find people here to work with and collaborate with. Brent's a great example. You know, there are filmmakers working in town here who are trying to put together a series about Prohibition era rum runners, and there's putting together a series called Marooned. It's on Kickstarter now. That's about actors who moved to Iowa. Exactly that story, because there is so much work that goes on here, and you have a huge opportunity to make a difference, a real impact in your community by getting engaged and involved.
Chris is on the line from Amana. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Hi. What's your story?
I got into brewing beer in the craft brewing industry after graduating from college with a journalism degree, and I started at the old Dubuque Star Brewery a number of years ago. They sent me to brewing school and everything, and then they closed. So I kind of bounced around for about a year and got hired down at Millstream Brewery, and we bought a house in Belle Plaine, sort of kind of far away from, you know, I grew up in Dubuque, So sort of a little bit of, you know, not a coast, but a little bit away from everything I was used to. And then the owner of the brewery announced he wanted to sell the place. And so I got together with a couple of other people that were working at the brewery, and we managed to buy the place. And it's been pretty successful for us. And I like to say, you know, they were mentioning about the cost of living in Iowa and how that affords you the opportunities to do things in this state that you can't do in others. And I think Millstream is a prime example of that, because it was not something that if I would have went to one of the coasts where the craft brewing industry is just taking off, I would have been able to afford to have my own brewery. So I guess that's my story.
Chris, did you meet any resistance, maybe from yourself or from other people who felt that craft brewing was not a practical field for you to enter?
At the time, it was pretty much an unknown field in Iowa. The industry hadn't really even, I mean, there were just maybe a handful of people in Iowa that really followed the craft beer scene. So it was pretty new to the state. Resistance? Not a whole lot. I was scared to death.
Sure.
It sounds
like it was worth it.
The biggest hurdle is just educating people and trying to get them to try something different besides one of the mainstream beers.
All right. Well, Chris, thank you so much for calling and sharing your story. We need to take a break here, but we'll be back in just a moment. My guests today are four different artists who are going to be together tonight for an artist discussion at the Des Moines Social Club from 6 to 8. The topic is Finding Your Fire. With me are Matthew McIver, Michelle Hawley, Rex Hausman, and Darren White. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and today I'm talking with four artists who are going to be part of an artist discussion at the Des Moines Social Club tonight. It's called Finding Your Fire, beginning at 6 o'clock this evening. With me today are Darren White. He's a sculptor based in Lawrence, Kansas. Rex Hausman, who lives and works as a full-time artist in San Antonio and New York City. Michelle Hawley, who lives in Des Moines. She creates and manages websites, curates fine art shows, and paints. And Matthew McIver, who is the director, actor, is a director, actor, writer, and educator in Des Moines. He's the artistic director of the Des Moines Social Club and its in-house theater troupe, Locust Productions. And we want to hear from you as well. The number to call is 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Rex, earlier we were talking about how you made the leap from being a business major and who wasn't doing particularly well in school to becoming an art major and really finding yourself as an artist. And before the break, we were talking about how some people and many of us create barriers for ourselves in our minds. And you were talking about how supportive your mother was when you told her that you wanted to become an artist. But what went on in your mind before you were actually able to tell your parents that you wanted to be an artist?
Well, it was a serious problem. I mean, you've got, seriously, it was like, you want to do what? You want to be an art major? What do those people even do? You know, I mean, and, you know, I mean, really starting in your head is the first, you have to believe in yourself, you know, and I've been taking some notes as the whole program has been unfolding. And some of the most important things that go on is first your decision. And if you talk to Darren, if you talk to anybody in this room or anybody on this radio that's talking about where did it all start, it start with tremendous passion. You have to get out there and do it. You know, I mean, the whole reason we're sitting here talking today is because Chad made a call to Darren. Darren made a call to me. I made a call to Matt from Darren. And we just started meeting. And then this tremendous amount of emails started going between Chad and Kim Palm Logan at the Metro Arts Alliance and Hilliard Supply and sponsorship. And why I'm kind of going to here today is because that all started and it's never changed. It started with me saying to my mom, "Mom, I think I'm going to do this." And her saying, "Go for it." My dad saying, "Rex, print out a portfolio." To which I said, "What's a portfolio?" To which he said, "Just go print something out of what you do." To which I heard, you know, "Go to a better art school." What's an art school? I went to Barnes & Noble, picked up everything with the word art on it. So really it all begins in the beginning, starting, going, doing, which is why I think the title of our lecture, Finding Your Fire, Do It, you know, is really it. It's that inner, I don't know, like it's kind of like a way of seeing the way things are and not quite liking it, thinking it's pretty cool, but going, I think a number of us together could make this better for all of us, and including all those other people. I think that's a key component in what all, we're all saying is reaching other people and saying it will be okay. It may be rough. It may be weird. You may have to start from zero, but go for it. You know, like the caller called in about his brewing company. We just got together and said, hey, let's buy this thing, and now we're doing craft beer. You know, I mean, truly all of this starts with inside of yourself, again, remembering what matters, your family, your friends, those people that support you. And then from that support, not keeping it for yourself, but going, let's do something, let's make something happen, let's do something that benefits all.
We have a lot of callers who want to get involved in this conversation. First up is Jim on the line in Spencer. Hi, Jim.
Hey. Yeah, I've been back here from Arizona since 88 and had traveled a bit and worked with artists in a lot of Arizona communities and just figured, well, there's no reason Iowa can't do the same thing. And so here in Spencer, we've been developing an artist community here for about 10 years now. And, you know, we believe that a creative economy can be something that helps keep your community thriving. And so, you know, we've attracted quite a few artists here. We probably had about four or five full-time artists when we started this. There must be, oh, I don't know, 20, 25 now. And they're all people who do many things besides just one creative endeavor. But they are, you know, making a living at what they love. And we're attracting funds. There's been a lot of changes I've seen, slow going, but you know, now we're seeing where it's a lot more likely that a corporate sponsor will help fund a show, or that children, you know, taking classes at the gallery will say things like they believe that they want to be an artist, that, you know, they can see the possibilities for them. So it's really a big transition for a whole community, and Iowa needs to do that too.
Well, and Jim, we were talking earlier about how some people who want to be artists believe that they have to go to L.A. or they have to go to New York City. Within Iowa, do people who want to be artists think that they have to go to Des Moines or Iowa City? I mean, do you have another hurdle in Spencer to create a community for artists?
Well, it depends on what you're doing and how fast you want to get there. If you want to wait for people to find you, that might be okay. And we do have many full-time artists here who are happy with their market and the climate. And there are others who realize that, you know, they have to grab a ring somewhere else, and they're going to want to migrate around a bit and find just the right community. And, you know, that's unfortunate, but I understand that.
All right. Well, Jim, thank you so much for calling. It sounds like you're doing wonderful work.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Next up on the line is Caitlin from Cedar Falls. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi.
Hi. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I'm first, I'm 24, and I just graduated from college with a degree in Spanish, but my passion has always been art. And like you guys were talking about before, a lot of times it was discouraged. And in college, I actually went thinking I would go for art, and then speaking with advisors, I kind of got taken out of that loop because I thought I needed to go more of a business route to make a living, and now I kind of am wondering if I should have taken art in college, and now I'm trying to make something so that I can combine my Spanish skills with art, and I'm thinking about maybe just diving into something, learning about it, and trying to teach classes on the side or something. Do you guys have any ideas or recommendations?
Who would like to respond to Caitlin?
I can go ahead.
Sure, Michelle.
I would say, coming from my background, I did have an art education, but also everything that I've learned and in the past 4 years has been a matter of just going out and getting involved in any group you can. If you see somebody offering a class locally, go take it. If you see a networking opportunity, go and get yourself out there. And the amount of opportunities that are presented to you will astound you. I mean, I, you know, met Matt randomly at a restaurant, and, you know, 4 years later, we're working really close together. I decided that Des Moines didn't have quite the art scene that I wanted when I came here, so I found people that could help me make it happen to make our own art gallery. And so we brought in a whole new different kind of art just by deciding that, hey, we wanted to do this, and it wasn't available here. I think more than having an education in art is very important, but on another note, if you just go out and get what you need, you know, you can do whatever you want without having a specific degree that focuses you right where you think you need to go, because you'll learn that the more you get involved, what you think you wanted to do will change. And so you'll have the opportunity to learn all sorts of things and work with great people. And yeah.
And I would just jump in and say that it's like jumping on what Rex was saying and what Michelle was just saying. It's really about doing. It's about going out and doing things and making connections to people. You know, I look at learning and doing as a cycle, is that I start doing something and realize, well, wow, I don't know enough yet to do this. So I have to learn something in order to be able to do this next thing. I mean, I'm a director. I'm an actor. I have no degrees in theater whatsoever. I spent 10 years training under some of the best people in the world in New York, and have, you know, amazing, you know, education in it, because I was like, oh, I don't know enough yet, so let me go see what these guys have. Let me go see what these guys have. And the more of those connections that you make and just jump in, if you think that's the direction you want to go, the important thing is to take action and do it and go in that direction and find the people who are doing that and connect with them. And ask them, what else should I be doing? Who else should I be talking to? That's a conversation I'm still having with people as I try and learn more about directing, as I connect with other directors around the state. And I say, hey, will you mentor me about this? Will you talk to me about that? Because I'm still trying to learn and grow.
Well, and Michelle, let's go back to you, because obviously you have a day job. You are very involved in the artistic community. There are a lot of people in your position where everybody else here makes their living as an artist full time. How do you find the balance? How do you find the energy to create art even after you've put in a full day of work?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's got to come from within you. I mean, you can go to work, and I've ran into many artists that are like, oh, I had to work all day. Now, you know, I'm too tired to do something. And it comes down to, you know, you have to have that fire within yourself just to know that that's what you want to do. That's what makes that. That's what drives you to get up every day, is to create something, to change something around you, within the community. You know, whether it's large or small, just having that fire within yourself to keep going and drink coffee.
Ben is on the line next from Des Moines. Hi, Ben.
Good morning. I totally agree with the drink coffee thing, too. I don't think I would have gotten much music written without the coffee the last few years. I'm a composer in Des Moines. And I think, yeah, the focus on doing is really important. I've been writing music freelance for about 30 years, and you start with something that you feel confident about, and you start small. And then, you know, my experience has been that as I have, you know, grown in my work and my skill, I tend to want to write larger projects. And I finally came up with a couple of ideas that were worth pursuing. And what I discovered is that, you know, it takes more time to write a big project and also more resources. And if you can really communicate, get out and talk with people about who might have an interest in your project, that, you know, the aspect of building a community of support for yourself and finding the people that would be willing to bring this good idea to fruition, it's really important to connect with people and just to get out there and talk and bounce your idea off of other people. Because the more you talk about your idea, the more clear it becomes, and you get ideas from people, you get suggestions of other folks that might like to do what you're doing. And 3 years ago, I had this piece that I had written as a memorial for an Irish-American fellow that had died and left a young family, and there was a choir that wanted to have a memorial piece for him. And that piece has, from that one piece came the idea that I could do a whole mass on Celtic themes. And so and next month it's going to premiere on Iowa Public Television. So the, you know, the, if you can keep honing your ideas and talking to people about them and just get the kind of support that you need. I had 15 choirs from not just from Iowa but all over the country. I was able to get a co-commission together. So for bigger ideas, to get a number of different choirs or galleries, or, you know, there's, you know, I'm sure theater groups can co-commission plays.
Well, Ben, we are nearly out of time, but thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and congratulations to you. And we really just have a couple of minutes left. And I want to ask each of you, and I'll start with you, Michelle. We've talked a lot about the interests that you have and the passions that you have and the ideas that you've been able to make happen. But where do you find motivation to continue when you're not getting necessarily a lot of extrinsic support? Michelle?
I would say the people that you surround yourself by are always what's going to drive you to be great. So you just have to find those people that really continually, you know, make you stronger, push you harder. Yeah, I would say it's just surrounding myself with a lot of artists that really kind of want the same goal, just to make this city, specifically Des Moines, a bigger, you know, art mecca. So,
how about you, Darren?
Well, I think it's very important that we focus also on the art supporters, because without art supporters, you don't have professional
Amen.
Artists.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to just say thanks to Chad Cox and Hilliard and the different arts, the Metro Arts Alliance and the Des Moines Social Club, for putting on this thing tonight, the Finding Your Fire. And I hope some of you come out tonight as well.
But when you don't have supporters, when things don't
right.
look good, when things aren't going well, how do you keep that fire going?
I think if it's not internal, that that you really have nothing to go on. So I think you have to dig deep and find it internally. And I think if you really do have a passion, it will come out of you. And, you know, no matter how that is. And you mentioned that I was a full-time sculptor, and I'm actually not. I do art consulting for production with Hava Studios, a company I started. And I do independent art curating as well. So you have to make it work, however that is. So, and I think most artists have a day job in some sense. So you have to get out and just have that passion to do it in the evening as well, or whatever time you're not working.
We are almost out of time. Rex, do you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, truly, it's your family. It's your friends. My brother is a big influence in my life. And it's my community. It's the people I come from. And every time I face a harder battle, I think of my faith, I think of my family, I close my eyes and I really do think of the faces of the people that I'm doing it for.
Mm-hmm.
And when those images come into my head, the strength comes and something will happen. A sale will go through, a friend will call, I'll call a friend. Get out there, do it, and believe in people.
And Matthew, I'll let you have the final word. You've got 10 seconds.
It's the people, and it's cutting down the things that aren't important and focusing on the things that are. Your stop doing list matters as much as your doing list.
Thank you all so much for being with us today. I spoke with Matthew McIver, a director, actor, and writer, and educator in Des Moines, Michelle Hawley, an artist who lives in Des Moines, Rex Houseman, who lives and works in San Antonio and New York City, and Darren White, a sculptor based in Lawrence, Kansas. This evening, they'll be part of an artist discussion at the Des Moines Social Club starting at 6 o'clock. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese and Lindsay Moon. Our executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. Technical support from John Pemble today. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tomorrow on Talk of Iowa, the story of Alexander Clark and his daughter,